these thoughts on the marks or the characteristics of a healthy assembly. And we started with, and I believe these, the order of these are fairly significant. However, I wouldn't be dogmatic. I think all of these qualities or marks or characteristics would be important. But we started with an assembly. If it's going to be a healthy assembly, the assembly, that is the people, the sheep themselves, need to love the Lord and be obedient to his word. And so we took a session on that, reminding you that love is a word of action, and that the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. And so we talked about that. We talked about how love is demonstrated. God demonstrated his love toward us, and the Lord Jesus certainly demonstrated his love toward us, and there needs to be action, corresponding action, along with the word love for it to be true love. It's like faith. Faith is not faith unless there is corresponding action with faith. So love was like that. So we talked about that, loving the Lord. And if you love the Lord, of course, you want to keep his word. Now, I'm going to jump to number three, because I'm going to take up number two here in just a minute. But number three in the marks of a healthy assembly, I'd like to phrase it like this. A healthy assembly has people who are willingly submissive to the oversight. This goes against everything. Nobody wants to be told what to do. And yet, in the framework of the New Testament church, of the Lord's assembly, we're instructed to submit to those in authority over us. Lord willing, next week we'll take that up. And then we're going to be talking about a church, the marks of a church, a healthy church, is one that grows and cares for itself. Okay? It develops, it grows, it matures. And we'll have some thoughts about that. Another mark of a healthy assembly, it has a burden for the lost. You have to have a sense of the Great Commission. But just to academically say, okay, we got to do it because Jesus told us to do it, that's a good start, but you need to get a burden for the lost. Another mark is a praying church, a church that prays. Another mark, this one's going to be a little bit more difficult to deal with, but we have dealt with it a little bit in the past under fellowship, and that is an assembly that deals with sin, leaven. The leaven has to be taken out. And if there is sin in the assembly, it has to be dealt with. It's going to be a healthy assembly. If not, you're going to get sick and die. And so we'll talk about that. And then another one, and this will probably be the last one, a healthy mark or a healthy assembly has the characteristic that they're always looking for the return of Jesus. They're watching, they're waiting, they're looking for the Lord Jesus to come back. Okay, which takes us back to number two. I got ahead of myself, just a little preview, a little advertisement. And as the Lord gives us opportunity, we'll try to cover some of those topics. So number two, I want to say it this way because I want to grab your attention. Number two, if assembly is going to be healthy, it has to have elders that lead and not lord. Did you get that? Elders that lead the flock, not lord over the flock. Okay. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 20 just for a moment as a springboard. Matthew chapter 20. And let's notice verse 25, Matthew 20 and 25. And these are the words we read. Jesus called them to himself and said, that is his disciples, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the reason I entitled this mark, Elders That Lead and Not Lord. Did you know that the ladder of success for any Christian, whether they're in the oversight of the assembly or just members, part of the fellowship of the assembly, every Christian, the ladder of success ends at the bottom, not the top. Jesus is the great example. Okay. I have had the privilege of ministering among the Cree Indians in James Bay, Ontario, since the early 80s, okay, and have kept up with them. They keep up with me, and not every day, every month, but we keep up with one another. My first encounter with the fellowship of the Cree Gospel Chapel at Moose Factory, Ontario, in the tip of James Bay, was a goose hunting trip. A brother in the Lord asked me, would I like to go goose hunting with some Indians, Cree Indians? And I said, oh, a childhood dream come true. Of course, yes, I'd love to go. So we went. I thought I was just going to go up there and learn how to shoot geese and all this, camp out, have a wonderful time. Little did I know that God was about to expose me to the greatest example of an elder that I've ever seen, even to this day. It was back in the early 80s. And so here we were, 42 in the hunting party. And this included men and women and children. It was September, mid to late September. Ice would form on James Bay in the evenings and then melt away during the day. We're right at the time it was starting to happen up there. And we were in canoes. Big canoes, freighter canoes, if you know anything, a square stern with a 10 or 20 horsepower motor on the back, a 22 to 24 foot long canoe, and 11 of those loaded right down, heavy, heavy in the water, and we launched out. There was one fellow by himself. At that point, I was just being introduced to him. I didn't know him. Everybody called him Baba. Baba. It's a Cree Indian word for father. You don't have to have teeth to say it. Baba. Babies can say it. Okay. And his name was Tom Chichu. I noticed something about him the very first day. He was looking after everybody. I mean, there are 11 of these canoes. He had a little skiff. He'd run around. How you doing? How's everybody doing? Are you warm? Do you need this? Do you need that? At night, you have to anchor, because they're on the tide system, you have to anchor your boat so that when the tide comes in or goes out, your boat doesn't, you don't lose your boat. So, and the only way you can anchor those is by driving stakes in the mud and in the sand. Do you know I watched him that first night? Everybody had their boat anchored, staked down. And now they're putting up tents. And of course, we've got to have heaters. And the food has to be, everything has to be hauled in, onshore, in, tent set up. Okay, food, fire, all that. I watched him. Before he went to bed that night, he checked all those canoes. He went to every tent, 42 people. I don't know how many tents we had, a lot of tents, okay? Everybody got what you need. You got fresh water, you got food, how are the children doing, et cetera, and et cetera. I watched that man for 10 days. He rarely spoke a word. He didn't say, now you get your canoe over here and you do this and you pinch your tent over there and you... This man was a genuine, bona fide servant. No wonder when he spoke, everybody listened. It was an unbelievable, real life, real time, in color example. Well, we didn't have a shepherd and we didn't have sheep. But we had an old man and 42 people he's taking care of. I got to know that old man. I had the privilege of taking his funeral many years later. It is an unbelievable example of an elder taking care of his people. I will never forget that. Never once did he shout, never once did he command, but he had the ear of every person because he set the example. Now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul has called for the elders at Ephesus to meet him. And he wants to instruct them and encourage them in the Lord. In doing so, I'm going to take a very brief moment to show you the context here, why it's important that we look at it. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, from Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, and at this point now, he begins to instruct them and set an example before them. Because of our time, we don't have time to read all this. I just want to summarize it for you. In verse 19, look at these words, serving the Lord. No, he's setting an example and also an order and how things ought to be. So for these elders, their first priority is to serve the Lord. And verse 20, I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it and taught you publicly and house to house. Next, serving man, the people. Look at verse 21, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, serving the lost. Now, remember something, elders are servants. You got all these words, overseers, bishops, elders, shepherds, they all come from the same. It's all they're all servants. They're all servants. And like the Lord Jesus was the servant king, the elders are to be servant elders. Going to have a healthy assembly, got to have elders that set the example, got to have elders that lead the flock. It is quite a bit later down in verse 24, Paul says, but none of these things move me, nor did I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish the race with joy, etc. Here's the little outline. Verse 18, 19, serving the Lord. Verse 20, serving man. Verse 21, serving the lost. Down in verse 24, serving myself. How does he serve himself? To discipline himself so that he might finish the course, might do it properly. Okay. Now, he also says in verse 26, I've done everything that I can do. Therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Wow. I couldn't say that. But that's something you ought to be able to say. That's something that ought to be a goal, that there's nothing left unturned. Okay. Now, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, you elders at Ephesus, and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd, to feed, to tend, to take care of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's an interesting statement. I just make one comment. Mr. Darby, in his commentary, says, which he purchased with the blood of his own, might be a little closer to the original. Nevertheless, he goes on to warn them. In verse 29, I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Look at verse 30. Even from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Look at verse 31. He's weeping. Paul is setting the example for elders to follow, the example for the flock to follow the elders. And so in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance, et cetera, and et cetera. I just wanted you to see that the instruction is serving the Lord, serving the people, serving the lost, serving yourself. Only in that you are disciplining yourself for the work, the ministry that God has called you to do. You got to take care of yourself, not in selfish ways, but you got to take care of yourself so you can do the work that God's called you to do. Now, if you're taking notes, write down Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm not going to take time to go there, but I want you to know that in the Old Testament, God rebukes the elders, that is the shepherds of his people, Israel. Okay? He rebukes them because everything was for themselves. They were using and abusing the flock. You know, I have seen it. I have seen, in my opinion, in my estimation, I have seen men lording it over, commanding, shouting, taking, not sensitive to the people at all, just telling them what they have to do. It makes me sick at my stomach when I see that. That is not Christ-like. That is not the responsibility of the elders. Sometimes elders have to do very difficult things. We'll be talking about that. Very difficult. But they must do it in a Christ-like spirit. People know if you're coming with an axe or if you're coming with tears. They know the difference. And so in Ezekiel, you ought to read that. That's just good because it tells you the other side of the story. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're talking primarily here, and I feel sorry for the elders at your church because this is just generic. I am not picking on anybody. I am not suggesting that they're doing or not doing anything right or wrong. This is just part of the study that I'm giving. And it's principles. It's overall. But nevertheless, they're in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we're going to go to Peter real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writing, and notice these words, imitate me. Those are frightening words. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Oh, okay. Okay, maybe I can swallow that pill. So Paul was saying, in every way that I imitate Christ, I want you to imitate me. And every way that I submit to the authority of the Lord and his word, I want you to imitate me. As I do it, you do it. As I follow him, you need to follow me or imitate me. Now let's go quickly to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This sort of brings a lot of this together, and I think you'll see it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders, notice the position. The elders who are, here's our word, among you. Now we know in order of authority, the elders have authority, and that's just God's order. They're the overseers. They are accountable. They must give an account. But the elders never see themselves as above anybody else. However, they do have the most accountability. Therefore, they need to be respected for that. But I like it. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here we go, verse 2. Shepherd, now this is the instructions, you elders, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, and all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, etc. We'll stop our reading there. You'll notice a few key words. Shepherd the flock. That is a work, not a position. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. This is Peter. This is the guy. He knows about this. He's talked to the Lord Jesus about these things. Shepherd the flock, which is among you. So the elders are among the sheep, and the sheep are among the elders. Okay. Serving, that is a job that, you might say, well, that's a position. It's certainly one that has a responsibility, but it is a function. It is a service, serving as overseers. And notice, not by compulsion. How many times has this happened in an assembly? Instead of preparing for the next generation and praying that God would raise up overseers, they wait till everybody's almost dead. And one guy says, the Lord gave me 2 weeks. We got to get some more elders. Oh, how crazy is that? And so they grab some guy and say, listen, you got to become an elder. And he goes, well, I don't know if God's called me. Well, nobody else to do it. You got to do it. That's so wrong. That is so wrong. That's not the way you do it. You plan, you pray, you train, you disciple, you work with, and God calls, and you see it, and it's the right thing to do. And it's not by compulsion. You don't grab and say, there's nobody else to do it. You got it. No, no. It's better to have no elders than wrong elders. You're back in Ezekiel 34 again. So notice, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain. You might think about money. Some people just want the position. They just want the prestige. They just want to be able to say, I'm Mr. Elder so-and-so here. And I'll tell you what these people do. That's not right. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. You know, every overseer, every shepherd, they're God's sheep. They're just under shepherds. And the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, is over them. Okay. And what a great privilege to be a shepherd under the great shepherd. And the great shepherd entrusts the sheep to the under shepherd. Not as being lords over them, but being examples to the flock. Okay, this is where it really gets hard. And again, I remind you, I am not using a platform to shoot at anybody. I'm just telling you, this is the way I see it. Overseers, shepherds, elders, should be able to say to the flock, now look, they're not perfect. You know they're not perfect. Who is? If you were there, you wouldn't be perfect either. But this is the way it goes, okay? Overseers need to set the example. So they need to say, follow me as I follow the Lord. Let me give you some areas in which the overseers need to say to the flock, follow me. So here's the way it goes. You follow me, the elders are saying to the sheep, to the flock. On your job, you do your job like I do my job. You run your business like I run my business. You operate as a family like I operate as a family. You can pattern your devotional life after me. You can pattern your prayer life after me. You read your Bible like I read my Bible. You study your Bible like I study my Bible. You take your leisure time, your vacation time, you use that like I use my leisure time and my vacation time. You pattern your hobbies, your sports, your TV, your internet, your reading material, all of that. You watch me as a shepherd, and that's the way you need to operate in those areas, those arenas of your life. You treat others like I treat others. You speak to your wife and children like I speak to my wife and children. I am going to set the example for you to follow. That's big. I mean, that's tough. But it shouldn't be. Unless we got skeletons in the closet. Unless we're leading a double life. Unless we're really not what we appear to be on Sundays or Tuesdays or any other day where the Christians get, if we're not really like that, this is frightening. Now, who does it perfectly? Nobody. Nobody. But we're all trying. We're all developing. We're all growing. No assembly will ever rise above its oversight. You got to have good leadership. You got to have godly leadership. You got to have leadership that's not afraid to say, God says, and I'm going to be the first one to do it, and I want you guys to follow me. If you're going to have a healthy assembly, you got to have elders that lead and not Lord. And my time is up. But just in case you think I'm picking on the assembly, next week we're going to point number 3. A healthy assembly has people that follow and not fight. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, how nice of you to expose us to things so high. The bar is so high, but it's Christ-like, and that's what we need to be. And we at best are unfaithful servants, but we don't want to be unfaithful servants. And I pray for the oversight at all assemblies that we fellowship with, all churches that have New Testament principles. I pray especially for 16th Avenue because I know these brothers and I'm not picking on them. Lord, you know I'm not picking on them and they know I'm not picking on them. We're just looking at the scriptures in a realistic way. And so I pray, strengthen them, encourage them, help them as they have the awesome responsibility of shepherding the flock that has been entrusted to them. Oh God, bless those shepherds and elders. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.